Well, welcome back, everybody. My name's Evan.
And I'm Andrew.
And we are so glad that you've joined us back on the BCC Pod. This is where we take what's happening in our church and what we're learning together and bring it into unscripted conversations that dive a little bit deeper. Whether you're tuning in on your drive at the gym or you're just relaxing at home, we're so glad you're here. And this week, we are talking about two different sins. Yeah. We got a twofer Sunday. sloth and gluttony. So, why don't we start with sermon in four words? If you could wrap up what you were talking about this past week. Maybe because it's two, I'll give you eight words.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not sure.
I think you can double it.
Yeah, I could get that down to four. It'd be like gluttony, bad, sloth, bad. maybe eight, I would say live with self-control and responsibility. Wait, that's six. Yeah.
That's even better.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually a really good way to summarize it.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I think too, when I realized that when I ask these questions, I'm really just asking you to reformat your main point. But speaking of your main point and your challenge for this past weekend, kind of what were they and what were you hoping people took away?
So what I hope people saw with kind of the main point was just how gluttony and sloth are pretty prevalent, I think, in our world and then in our lives. And then really what I was hoping for with the challenge is that people would start to live with self-control, saying, like, that's enough to some of the good things that can go overboard in our lives. Mm. And to also not to avoid doing the right things that they're called to do, to live with responsibility and to say yes to the right things. So for me, I think that's how you combat gluttony is with saying that's enough. And you combat sloth by saying yes to the right things that we shouldn't be avoiding and doing. And yeah, that's really what I hope people kind of take away from it. And in that sense, I think it's pretty, at least I found it for my own life, was pretty practical. Like, yeah. To be like, oh yeah, I see this stuff in my own life like fairly frequently. And so I was just hoping that people would also see it in their lives and then to live a little bit more free from it this week.
Mm-hmm. This is one that, like, I mean, it's interesting that last week we were talking with Sherry about pride. And I think I had said, like, this seems like one of the sneakiest sins out of all of them. These ones, I think, can be the most blatant for us, or like the easiest to spot in certain ways, with like overconsumption and just like checking out. But I think this one more than the others, there are almost like levels to it. And I think that's where it gets a little sneaky. Mm-hmm. Like the checking out piece of sloth and the like disengagement, you can check out in little ways and you can check out in big ways.
Yeah.
And like the big ways are easier to see than the small ways. And like that sort of responsibility and that like self-reminder and self-reflection is so important. For a week that you tossed two sermons into one sermon, was there anything that you wanted to talk about that you didn't have time for?
I think the only things I would have talked probably more about, I would have spent more time on the practicalness of it. Mm-hmm. And spent like, okay, so how do you really break like bad habits that are maybe, especially if it's around gluttony, like overconsumption of, you know, anything really, anything that's gone bad that was good. So that's probably where I would have spent more time on, but I was pretty glad with how I was able to, or hopefully able to, make those two sins at least clear for people, so that then they could kind of diagnose or discern or reflect in their lives and say, okay, where is it present? And then how can I live free from this? Yeah.
Before we continue on today, we want to let you know about Easter weekend, which is almost here, and we would love for you to join us at Bethany for three unique and meaningful services. It all starts with Good Friday, which is a quiet and reflective time to pause and remember the sacrifice of Jesus. Then early on Sunday morning, we'll gather for our sunrise service, which is a peaceful and liturgical moment to greet Easter morning with hope and stillness. And of course, we'll come together on Easter Sunday to celebrate the resurrection with music, joy, and community. It's a service full of life and love and all of the good news that we need. So no matter where you're at, there's a space for you here, and we would love to see you this Easter weekend at Bethany. You can visit the link in the description or bethanycc.ca/Easter to get all of the times and the details you need and to add it to your calendar so that you don't miss out. All right. So we got some questions today, some from the congregation and some that I threw in for fun. The first question is, how does the conversation and topic of sloth intersect with mental health? What does sloth look like when it's hard to get out of bed or you're amidst a mental health slump?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think what Solomon's really doing here in this passage, when he's talking about a lazy person or a sluggard or a slothful person doesn't get out of bed or turns in like a hinge in bed, kind of going back and forth, what he's teaching there is really, he isn't being condemning to people who cannot get out of bed. It's the people who can and just choose to not engage with the world when they have that choice. But when it comes to some medical realities and mental health realities too, that some people are simply unable to be able to get out of bed. And so I don't think that Solomon here would be being condemning to those people whatsoever. That in the same way, we wouldn't condemn anybody who's recuperating because of a broken leg. Right. When you're recuperating because of your brain or for other medical realities, we shouldn't say that that's slothful or sluggardly in any way. I think there would be grace for people who can't get out of bed. Solomon here, as I think he's actually just sharing with people who definitely can and then choose to not engage with the world. And that's what is slothful, when we've been giving skills, abilities, responsibilities, and we choose to not engage when we have that ability, that's really what slothfulness looks like. It's not like when we are recovering or recuperating or going through a difficult time where we just seriously cannot get out of bed. I think there needs to be a bit more nuance within that. And so I shared some of that on Sunday, but I wish I would have had more time to kind of unpack that. That was one area we could have looked a little bit more at, for sure.
Yeah. I remember years back, Phil Kathler, who was our support and recovery director at the time, shared a sermon. He was talking about worry and anxiety. And I remember he kind of opened with a caveat of saying, if you have been diagnosed with an anxiety disorder or you're struggling with your with anxiety and you're working with your doctor, this sermon is a lot of this is either not for you or will look different in your life because of that. And that because, yeah, like you were saying, right, like we talk about the seven deadly sins. We've been talking about them in terms of consuming language, right, like controlling and consuming and us having it controlling us rather than us engaging with it in healthy ways. And yeah, like you were saying, like, you wouldn't be like, man, you're being really consumed by that broken leg. Yeah. Right. Yeah, right. Yeah, and like, yeah, you'd exactly. be like, yeah, of yeah, course of I'm course consumed it by yes. it. I just broke my leg.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I think like for people in those spots, like, you should hear the sermon just with a lot of grace for what you're going through. And I think, that like when you're in those spaces, the last thing you need is somebody telling you, like we'll just get out of bed,
yeah.
right? Or like yeah. we'll just figure it out, right? And so yeah, like just yeah,
yeah. I think the slothful response is actually where people make excuses for doing what they can already do. Mm. Like that's that second kind of portion where it's like, oh, there's a lion in the road. There must be a lion out there. It's people avoiding doing the right things that they need to be doing. But when you're in recovery and your brain is recovering, the right thing you might need to do is to be resting actually.
Yeah.
And to actually be prioritizing that. So I just think we just have to be careful not to have a condemning lens on this when it comes to people who have legitimate medical realities that stop them from engaging as they would actually want to in the world.
Yeah.
So
I think not in the same way, but in a similar way too, that like rest does not mean sloth inherently either, right? That like true rest and like Sabbath is built into things, right? And is built into how we think about rest and is really important so that like it's like, if you're in that space, like, yeah, it's not slothful for you to not get out of bed. Or depending on how you're doing and where you're at in your recovery journey, it might be.
It might.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's like for you to figure out and to sense out. But then also like just by taking time to rest and to slow down and to take care of yourself also isn't sloth either.
No.
So it's just about, I think, finding that intention line and finding that, just space of being intentional about how we're resting.
Yeah. And I think too, when it comes to especially the book of Proverbs, Solomon is teaching principles And principles are meant to then be applied wisely in our lives. Mm. He's not just giving blanket promises or those sort of things. He's giving us a principle. And here I think the principle is, if you have something to contribute to the world and you're called to do that, like, please do that. Please don't avoid engaging the world around you. But how that relates to people in different spaces, that's where we really need like wisdom for how to apply it and to discern that and to reflect on it. And sure, obviously, having a day of rest and sleeping in on a day of rest is actually like a very healthy, good thing.
Right.
The Bible's pro that.
Yeah.
That's not slothful. If that becomes your entire tea all the time, where you're never really engaging the world around you and you can, then that's a problem. And so I just think, wisdom is needed in applying it.
Yeah. Our next question says, is there such thing as virtuous consumption, or does any form of overindulgence ultimately lead us away from freedom? How do we ethically navigate abundance?
Yeah. That's a really good question too. So there is a thing called virtuous consumption, where actually you consume too much of a virtue in some ways. So the early church fathers, and I find this like fascinating, the early church fathers said that you can actually pray too much, that you can use prayer as a way of disengaging from the world, that you can use prayer as a way of, to use Solomon's language, just kind of staying in bed or making up excuses, that you can actually be praying so much that you don't bring faithful action into the world. Mm. And so I do think you can actually have too much of even a good or a holy thing. Or we even saw in the Gospels how there was too much holiness in the Pharisees, actually, that holiness became a bad thing. It was actually overconsumption of it. Yeah. And it became a thing that began to cause problems for people and for the Pharisees. And obviously this Jesus came to overcorrect that. Mm-hmm. I do think there can be something as too much virtue in some ways.
Yeah. I think too, on the tail end of that question, how do we ethically navigate abundance? That reminds me of kind of some of the conversations we were having with greed. Mm. And I think that that's going to look different based on your situation. It's going to look different based on, and abundance doesn't have to be related to money either, right? That can be time, that can be lots of different things. And so where you're at in life and what those different things look like is going to change what your response and what kind of living ethically with that looks like. But I think the biggest thing is just that to ethically navigate abundance, the focus has to be on generosity rather than on abundance itself. I think the posture, like we were talking about in greed, that your posture as you approach that should be one of generosity as a kind of starting place. Our next question says, how might the Christian understanding of self-control and responsibility contrast with a purely secular or therapeutic approach to moderation and motivation? What makes the gospel vision distinct?
Yeah, I think there is a really big
Sunday school answer.
Sunday school Jesus. Answer. Jesus makes it distinct. That's what it is. I do think there is a big difference between how our world practices like self-control and responsibility and how Christians were called to do it. There's a thing, I think, in our world right now where there is so much, especially like online, you can see it like TikTok and stuff, of people like grinding and like showing
hustle
their
culture.
Yeah, right. Hustle culture. Just, yeah, that's what we need more of. And it's more seems to be about that you grit it out on your own.
Right.
And that you use your own strength to be able to, you know, accomplish all your goals. And you just, you know, have all the strength that you need within yourself. And you just grind it out, do all the hard things. And you can have self-control and discipline. And then you'll have greatness in your life or whatever. I think fundamentally, the biblical vision is different. That the biblical vision of self-control doesn't begin with us and our strength and us gritting it out. It actually begins with the Holy Spirit giving us strength to be able to follow him and what he would have for us. That in Galatians 5, it says that when we follow the ways of the Spirit, that he produces within us the fruit of the Spirit. And one of those fruits actually is self-control. That what we should see as we follow Christ and as we follow the Holy Spirit is actually more self-control in our lives. Mm. But not because of us doing more and better and harder and faster.
Yeah.
It's actually because we're relying on the Spirit more and we're trusting in him to produce that fruit within us. And that it ultimately is a work of grace rather than a work of self. Mm-hmm. So that's how I'd say it's different than the world around us.
Yeah. And I think too, like the implication of that is so interesting because like you're saying, like the hustle culture and rise and grind and just like routines and all that sort of stuff and wake up at 4 a.m. and do 6 workouts and like all that sort of stuff can actually become a distraction, right? Like you can, in trying to build self-control in that way, you can lose self-control and you can use it as a way of avoidance.
Yeah.
And I think that when it comes to like a gospel kind of pitch for self-control, that piece, like shocking, that piece of Jesus really changes things.
Yeah.
But that, like, I think it's a lot harder to leverage things for avoidance when you don't assume that you have everything inside of you that you need to get it done. Right. Yeah. Like, I think that if you are kind of pursuing self-control and knowing that that comes from Jesus, it's a lot harder to get into spaces where you're avoidant or where that becomes a bad thing or a harmful thing in your life, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Our last question today, says, how does the biblical view of responsibility challenge modern notions of individual freedom and self-expression? Where do those values align and where do they conflict?
Yeah.
It's a very essay question.
That is a very essay question.
I do run some of these through chat as well. Speaking of our game last week. So sometimes they really shoot the moon on these.
Yeah. So, I think if that question is getting at the difference between our individual responsibility, is that what it was asking?
Yeah. And so, how does, like the biblical view of responsibility challenge individual freedom and self-expression that like, does that make sense?
Yeah. So I think in our world, we have the highest value placed on individual freedom and self-expression, that what matters most is ourself, where I think biblically where we begin isn't with ourselves, but with God, with others, with community, and that it's a pretty big difference in how things work out. That I think for us in our world, there is such a focus on our individualness that we sometimes forget that we're actually called in responsibility to be actually serving the greater good around us. And I think that's a message that the Bible actually has, that we're called to serve the greater good of the community we're a part of following God and not beginning with ourselves. That ultimately what I would say the gospel is incredibly personal, but it's not individual. I think there's a difference between individualism and the prioritizing of self above everything else. And with the fact that, yes, the gospel is personal, it changes who I am personally, deeply. But it's not just about me as an individual receiving something from Christ. It's actually about me joining in with others and following Christ together, and that there's a communal nature to it. So when it comes to responsibility, one of the things I think we notice in the Bible itself is that, especially in 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14, that we each are given gifts by the Holy Spirit, but those gifts are to actually benefit the rest of the church body, that they're not just for us to be self-expression and to show all the greatness that we have personally. It's actually about serving a wider whole, and that we're given gifts to be able to serve and to sacrifice for those around us. And so I just think it has a very different focal point than our individual self-expression kind of culture that we have.
Yeah. And I think like that individualism is like a bad bill of goods, right? Like that we're sold individualism under, I think, the lie of preference, that like as our own individualism goes off, our own preferences are seen more and more in our lives, which tends to be not true just in life itself. But I think the cool thing about the gospel and the kind of to steal my language from a previous question, the like responsibility pitch it gives is like we know that we need people, and we know that individualism and that sort of thing is like not the best way forward. And that the fact that the Bible understands that, right? And that like all of those things are kind of united around togetherness, around community, and around responsibility to those things. I think, just like very much paints a better picture and a better yes for people. I also think too that like I have a problem with these sort of words from a like language point of view, just in how we talk. But when we talk about like obedience language and those sort of things, I recognize in myself this instinctive like grossed outness by it. I'm like, don't say that. Don't say it like that. Right. And part of that is just my own hangups with language. But the other part of that, I think, is that instinctual like training of like, oh no, that's like, I'm not going to be subjugated to anything.
Yeah.
Right. Like I'm not going to be obedient or responsible to anything. Like you can't call me to that. That's just so prevalent in the world. Right. And that like recognizing that in those moments of those like gut instinctual, like, oh, why do I feel like a little withdrawn when it comes to responsibility and talking about the responsibility I have?
No, I think that's really true. Our culture loves, to not use those kind of language around obedience or responsibility often. Mm-hmm. And I think then when we hear it in a Christian context, we can sometimes have that kind of gut reaction. And sometimes that's just for us to be reflective on and say, why is that there? Mm-hmm. Why do I hear that that way? Or why do I react that way to it? And I think it does, the gospel does change how we're called to be responsible and obedient. I just think we have our primary good in the Western world is that we are individuals first and foremost, and mm-hmm. we want to do what benefits us rather than perhaps what benefits those around us. Yeah. And that's one of the things the gospel kind of changes and alters, is it changes how we see things and it changes how we follow, and that it would be much more communal and participative mm-hmm. rather than individual and self-expression. I think they can just change.
Yeah. So that's a wrap for today's episode. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. We love having these conversations, but they're even better when you're a part of them. So if you've got questions, thoughts, or topics you'd love to hear about, you can shoot us a text at 905-937-5300, or you can email me or Andrew. We would love to hear from you. Before you go, don't forget to subscribe to the BCC Pod so you never miss an episode. And if you're enjoying the podcast, do us a favor and leave a quick rating or review. It's a simple way to help others find us and be encouraged as well. Thanks again for joining us today, and we will see you all on Sunday and back here next week.